Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the latest and last episode of River City 93, brought to you by Roughnecks Cars, Icarus FC, and of course, For the Culture. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and is joining me is two guys that had a week off from watching the heart attack that we know is Richmond Kicker Soccer. It's Matt and Shanier. How are you doing, guys?
Doing all right. Was there soccer this weekend?
There was a 6-1 buck kicking, and
The correct answer was there's a 2-0 or like Dos Acero game. I don't think there's soccer after Friday night.
But this is also true. Friday night sucked for me. Jamaica sat there. We had to win, and then we drawed it. And now we got to play America tomorrow, and I'm not looking forward to it. Yay. Shanier, how's Haiti doing?
You know, up and down. Sometimes they give you hope, and then, like, they have a good game, and then they're like, okay, your next game is against Mexico. Great, thanks. Or your next game is against Canada or USA or one of the big houses.
His next game against Mexico supposed to be hard? Didn't look hard.
That's true. USA made that look like a piece of cake. Dos a cero.
Oh, my God. All right.
Anyway,
we are here doing our end of the year live show. Guys, we have made it. This is the last show for the season. Season 3 in the books. So, any takeaways from how this season's been before we dive into all these listener questions, anything like that?
It was a roller coaster ride of a season, I must say. In the end, I think one thing we can take away is that I think Darren is on to something. With this being another year under his belt, it seems like he has a plan. There have been setbacks. Literally every season we've had starting left and right back get injured. But he still is continuing forward with a plan. And I think we'll see what happens next season. We'll see what next step he brings to the Richmond Kickers.
Yeah, I think it's a couple steps forward, a couple steps back. Had some good momentum going in the season. Started on a real high with that first 3-0 win, and then team could never seem to get out of second gear until October or so, late September, early October. They finally started to put things together and got us in to the playoffs, by the skin of our teeth, at the end of it. So while that seems like a plus, technically finished lower on the table than last year, had roughly the same, goals for, goals against, kind of splits when you extrapolate out for the longer season versus last year's short season. So a lot of uneven elements, to it. It seems like they're either good. When they're good, they can be really good. When they're bad, they can be really, really bad. And a lot of times those mediocrity in the middle.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'll definitely get into it. We talk about how we rate the season and things like that. But I think the biggest thing from this season is, for me, is just how roller coaster this team was at times. Like, it seemed like the team was really, really high. They were really, really on it. And when things were really, really bad, it seemed like things were just really off of it. Outside of that, year two under Darren Zawoski, I think it's a growing success. But I think there are a lot of things to fix going into year three. But before we get started, real quick, we just want to give a shout-out to Ivan Magalhaes. He has officially announced his retirement. Played 3 years for the Richmond Kickers at center back. Also a club captain. Only guy I know, ever since he's been here, he's had a different center back partner each year. Year one was Wahab. Year two was Kyle. This year was Jalen Chrysler. What are you guys' thoughts on Wahab? I mean, Avon retiring. And what do you think the Kickers are missing with him retiring as well?
I think Avon is one of those players that has really, in the 3 years that he was with the Kickers, he has really evolved from a few great moments type player to a solid stalwart, basically a center back for us and a leader in the back. It, of course, is sad to see him go, but this is a choice that he made, and you know, we got to respect that, and I'm just hope for the best for him. At the end of the day, I know we had our differences with Yvonne, especially in the beginning with some of the decisions he was making on the pitch, but I think over time we realized that those decisions were being made because, I mean, some of the mistakes that he was making were due to either personnel issues or where he was being played on the field, because I think at one point he was playing like left back. And I think it's just one of those situations where he evolved into such a great center back for us, a solid leader, a solid captain, and he'll be missed, but you know, the best to him.
Yeah, so I first saw him, I think it was, what year would it have been, 2015 maybe, when he transferred into Maryland. So, you know, watching him then, and you know, he was good right from the start for, you know, a team that, you know, lost in, you know, penalties in the quarterfinals of the NCAA, you know, tournament. Yeah, so he's, you know, saw him, you know, kind of, you know, very loosely followed him when he was, you know, bounced around, you know, the championship and everything. But then, you know, saw him that preseason, the first year of League One, and was like, is that him? I think it's him. You know, do the quick, you know, Google check to make sure I'm not, you know, misremembering what people look like or anything. I was like, all right, this will be cool. And I think once he was able to get settled into that center back position, because, you know, that first year he was here, yeah, he was having to play some left back, and there's that playing around with, you know, the three in the back that, you know, Bielo was doing for a little bit. I don't know if it really ever suited his skills quite well, but once Darren came in, you know, locked in starter, you know, right away. You know, let's be real. Last year, you know, he got hosed. He should have been, you know, all league, probably first team all league, you know, most likely, and somehow just got completely left off of everything. I don't know how that happened. This year, he was still really, really solid for us throughout the entire year. I would have loved to see potentially him and Jalen get a second year, you know, together, as they really, you know, start to learn each other's tendencies, you know, have that familiarity built up over time. But you know, he's deceptively quick, you know, really, you know, good on the tackle. He's not going to be the type of fullback that'll wow you and make you say, oh, holy crap, that guy is, you know, absolutely amazing. And I think that's a good thing, because that means he's probably not out of position having to make the hero tackles, having to, you know, do anything like that, you know, too often. And then, I mean, he's always good for a clutch goal or two, you know, each year, even going back to college. I mean, he scored, you know, for us at Notre Dame in the Sweet 16 last year. He got that winner at Omaha this year. I mean, we know, you know, that goal he scored, you know, 94th minute at North Texas. You know, he comes in strong in the clutch, you know, the big moments, you know, quite often. I thought he had, you know, more to give. I thought he might have stuck around another year or two. I know he's, you know, from Instagram creeping and everything, you know, got engaged in the last year and all that, so maybe they're ready to move on, you know, into life. So you can't hate on that, you know, as an option. Doesn't mean we have to love the decision, though.
Yeah, no. I mean, you always know at this level, like, you're more likely to lose guys because they're moving on in life, i.e. Braden Troyer, Scott Thompson. Guys are always going to move on because they're advancing on in life, not because they don't have any more left in the tank. And you're right, Shanair, from year one when we started this podcast, I was really hard on Avon. I was, but he has definitely grown over the year, 3 years, into our center back leader. And like, look, last year, like I said, I would take an Avon and Kyle Fittner partnership over any center back duo in USL League One, and I still will to this day, because they were just that strong and they meshed so well together. Whatever Avon goes into next of my life, I hope he's be super, super successful for it. And we wish him nothing but the best. But God,
so Elliot, big question: who's going to be our left-footed free kick taker now?
Hopefully not the next center back we bring in. Just my hope. But guys, are you guys ready to hop into these listener questions that we have?
Only the good ones.
All right. So how we're going to do this is I'm going to go through each question. I'm going to give you the fan response first, and then we'll give our each individual answers, all right? All right, so starting off with the first question, how would you rate this kicker season? 1 being the worst, 5 being the best. Majority of fans gave it a 4. We had 2 people that gave it a 5 out of 5, and then we had 4 people give it a 3 right in the middle. So where do you guys stand? That's how do you rate this kicker season?
I guess I'll go first then.
Right. Somebody asked me, should be a cut down.
I think it has to be a 3. You know, it was solid. It wasn't outwardly bad in moments. It was. There were good moments. I think probably, you know, that winning streak, you know, near the end of the year, you know, tilted it upwards, you know, for people. But, you know, just like the end of last year, the team had a chance to, you know, have a few games to win and, you know, get in. You know, this team basically had, you know, 2 shots and possibly have tons of other help to be able to get that home game. And that, yeah, they couldn't get it done then, didn't get it done the next game in the playoffs. So, yeah, I think, like we were talking about earlier, it's kind of status quo. And for me, status quo is going to be a 3.
Okay. For me, I'm going to go 3 as well. I think what we saw from this team at the beginning part of the year is – it was kind of a fluke. I think that 3-0 game was really a fluke because we hadn't seen the team play like that since. I think the biggest damper for me was just the road form of this team. The home form was outstanding. 8 wins, 5 draws, 1 loss. And technically that 1 loss was the very first game, which could have been a draw. The road form, on the other hand, I think it hampered us so much. Really down the stretch. You know, definitely dropping points against North Carolina. Didn't have any wins against them. The loss against Fort Lauderdale, things like that. So I think that's the biggest damper. Me, why I won't go a 4 on that. It is a positive that we do have the playoffs. It's a positive step that we did kind of end the year in a 5-game winning streak, and we also won the health insurance derby and the Hitty derby, so that's cool. But I think this team needs to take the next step, and that's locking up a home playoff game without – waiting to the last couple of weeks of the year to do it, you know?
I mean, it wouldn't even bother me if they waited until the last week, because that's not totally, you know, your own control all the time. But, you know, it's having, you know, that, you know, 2 shots, you know, at it to be able to just get 1 point out of there that would have done it in, you know, twice. I mean, I'm not going to blame them for losing at Omaha. You know, everybody's losing at Omaha as well. But, you know, between that and, you know, Tucson and – I mean, that was a poor defensive performance out in Arizona the first time around. Yeah. It's just like last year where they just couldn't close the deal.
Yeah, and that's true. And that is surprisingly difficult to see out of Darren's teams. I mean, I'm going to talk about now. I think that's one of the things I think Darren really needs to work on is this is twice this has happened now where the team has kind of just fell flat on his face near the tail end of the season. How does he work on getting the team to stay consistent and kind of work through that, you know? And what I mean, like, locking up a playoff game, like having the playoffs locked up prior to the last week of the season, I don't want to go through that emotional roller coaster of knowing, like, I need this result to go this way, this result to go this way. Like, I want it locked up before then.
I hear you.
Yeah. All right. We were in motion there to get back, but in the meantime, we're going to go on to the next question. Most surprising player for you in 2021. We have a lot of votes for Ethan Bryant. As you know, he came on loan for San Antonio FC in the middle of the year. We also have a couple of votes for Dathan Ani, Chris Cole, Akira Fitzgerald, and Jonathan Bolaños. So for you, Matt, most surprising player of 2021.
Yeah, it's a tough one because I think there's a few different good answers on here. I'm not going to pick Bryant only because he wasn't with the team at first. And when he came in on loan, I think that probably the expectation was that he'd be able to perform well. I want to go with Chris Cole. You know, this is a guy that was brought in just to be, a practice player, at the beginning of the year. I think they even said that in his signing announcement, right after the season started. I figured he would be, practice fodder, maybe make the bench once in a blue moon, just, be a body or something. And by the end of the year, he was locked in starting at left back, scored, a clutch goal against Madison for us. And I'll be real, I did not see that coming in any universe that was out there. So I think the other names that, people mentioned, good options. I might throw Calvo in that list, too.
I definitely agree with you 100% on Chris Cole. He was not a guy that I saw being our starting left back by the end of the year. And it's so unfortunate as well, too, because he was the person that kind of missed his mark on the Corfe goal against FC Tucson in the playoffs. But he was really outstanding. Because starting here, we have Monty as our starting fullback. And, through injury, Cole came up and took his spot. And I really think Darren Sawatzky trusted him throughout the year. Another player that I will give a shout out to is Shiner's never going to be part of this podcast. Is Jonathan Bolaños. I got to say, from all the guys from year one to year two that was part of that young player group, he made the biggest jump in year two.
By far.
Yeah, 5 goals. I think he had 3 assists. If Bolaños does stay with the Richmond Kickers, because I'm expecting he possibly is moving on to the USL Championship team. If he does stay with us, I think the biggest thing he needs to work on is his crossing. He was a little bit towards the lower end and when it came to the wingers and crossing and having successful crosses. So I think if he can improve that part, I think he becomes one of the more dangerous players in USL League One. Because when he cuts inside, no one can stop that shot.
See, that's what I was actually going to say it a little bit differently. I think if he works on his finishing a little bit more, because he can get that look inside. He wasn't finishing a ton, from those, throughout the year. And if he can improve that even a little bit, and this is probably recency bias, but improve his headed finishing as well. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to see him hitting close to 10 goals in a season if he can really work on that, because how many times did he cut in and just rip a shot with his right foot and it went either just high or just wide, or the keeper had to make a save on it. If you can aim that a little bit better and be able to pick the corners, and that's going to open up so much more space for Emmy and whoever else is up there.
Yeah, that's really true. If we have the pleasure of keeping him next year, do not be surprised if John Bolaños have 10 goals next year. Would not shock me at all. Going into the next question, which player would you like to see more of in 2021? So when I asked this question, I think some people might have gotten confused. So what we meant by this question is, what is the player in this year that you would like to see more of 2022? A player that didn't get enough playing time, or a player that might have had a little bit of down year that you're expecting to see more of going into next year? A couple of people put Monty. We got a couple for Olex Anderson and Luke Pavone. Devontae Du Bois also as well. So what about you, my man?
That's a tough one for me because Darren had his guys this year. Like, he had about 15 guys that he really used, right? And so I think a lot of the likely targets, for this answer, got to good amount of time. You know, I think this answer is also going to be, you know, changed a little bit based off of, you know, events since we first sent this out. I think it's got to be Nathan Aulney at this point, right? You know, whether that's at center back. I mean, I don't love the idea of having like two giant guys in the back, you know, together, but you know, it could work. But I thought, you know, as the year went on, you know, when he was coming in into the midfield, he was better than I thought he would be, you know, filling in some of those roles. Like, I think it would probably help him if he had a dedicated home on the field somewhere. But I think he's somebody who, you know, might, you know, be ready for that step up in minutes.
Yeah. So I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm going to say Victor Flock. Simply because I think with Zaka coming in, Victor gets moved kind of further up into the center mid spot, and I don't think it was his natural spot. So I think in that it kind of decreased his minutes. And what we saw a lot for him from last year was how great he was just kind of sitting into that whole space in the midfield and kind of be able to spray and distribute passes, but also working well with Riley Kraft. Yeah. So he's a player that I would really – and not saying like had a down year, but I believe that he didn't have his best year. Just because he got this place. And there's nothing wrong because Zaka is a wonderful player.
Let me throw a concept out here to you. What do you think about Victor moving into the center back spot?
I don't mind it. How tall is Victor? That's another question.
I mean, I feel like he's pretty big. I feel like he's 6-something.
That's my thing.
Keep talking. I'll
while Matt is looking for that, Shaneer, the question we are asking right now, first of all, it's good to have you back, buddy. Is your internet stable?
Yeah, my internet's a little wonky, but we'll try and power through this. what was the question?
So the question is, which player would you like to see more of in 2022? And with that, it's like a player. It doesn't have to be a player that had a bad year, but it could be a player that kind of had a dip in form that obviously that could go back up. Oh, he's listed at 6 foot.
Throughout the entire?
Yeah. So, I mean, Victor. Oh, what falls you? Go ahead and finish. I'll go and finish my statement later after you.
No, I was saying, is it a dip in form throughout like the entire season or during a portion of the season?
It could be either way. Just if you feel like, you know, you want to see more of them in 2022, but they had like a dip in form from last year to,
or didn't get the minutes you wanted or thought they should get.
Yeah.
I would say temporary dip in form at a certain point of the season was the biggest high profile dip in form during a portion of the season for me was Matt Bulldog. There was a period, I think this was around the time where Darren was still trying to figure out how to use him. But with the arrival of Ethan, that changed things. And I think Bulldog was really able to pick up his pace and pick up his quality back into play. For him, there was a period around the middle of the season where he had a real dip in form. And you could even see it in his body language and his demeanor that he even felt that he had a different form. In terms of a complete dip in form for the entire season, I would probably say I don't want to use the same person you did, Elliot. I would probably say Stanley because he just completely disappeared off of the roster.
We knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Listen, this out there for those who don't know.
To be honest with you,
Stanley is your son. You just need to claim that boy in your taxes.
No, but he did have a period where, I don't know, I think Darren was starting to play him as a 10, where he had a little spark, and then it was literally like a flash in the pan, and we haven't really seen him since. I don't know if it was Neil really coming into that number 10 position or just it just didn't fit. I personally well, didn't think that the number 10 position fit Stanley. He did get hurt. Yeah. And I mean, that's the nature of the beast of professional sports, period, not just soccer. When you get injured, there's a risk of you losing your relevance, period. I mean, depending on who has to take your spot while you're injured and how well they do and what effect they have on the team. And in this situation, you're looking at Darren trying Stanley out as the 10 and it working a little bit. He did make a nuisance of himself to opposing teams on the attacking side of things. But after the injury and just that timing of the injury, right when Neil really started to literally bloom into that number 10 spot in terms of his form, there was no way Stanley was going to be able to push his way back into the roster, back onto the starting 11.
Yeah. Stanley was a player that when he was on the field, you could see something was there. It's just unfortunate he got hurt, and this is definitely going into year two of him. He's definitely what I would love to see more of. But back to your question, man, about Victor. So in the comments, people are saying that he's less than a 6 foot. If that's the case, then yes, I would love to see him as center back. I would 100% love it.
Yep. Yeah, so I think he can pass the ball well. We know he can move fairly well. I mean, will it work? Who knows? But I'd be intrigued by it, at least seeing it, how it goes in preseason, maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind it at all. Going into our next question, favorite moment of 2021. A lot of people has put down winning the Henry Derby. We got a few for rain games. Any one of Emmy's three goals that I had to rewatch on the broadcast to see how he snuck it in. Winning the Henny Derby, the comeback win over North Texas. So, guys, I will ask you guys, what is your favorite moment of the season?
It's a tough one. There were some really good isolated moments. I think the three that popped to mind right away while I try to decide which one it is, I think opening day, you know, we were riding a high right then, beating, you know, the crap out of New England, you know, that day. That felt good. We believed in that moment that, you know, things were, you know, going to the moon. I think, you know, you can be able to, obviously, the, you know, Henny Derby, second Henny Derby win at home, the 3-2 game. First one was kind of a typical snoozer. Then I think, you know, the first game of the 5-game winning streak when, you know, Emmy, you know, headed that corner kick in stoppage time and, you know, right in front of us, you know, down the Red Army, and then, you know, massive celebration, you know, I think it was first time players back into the stands for a celebration, you know, since pre-COVID. That just felt good. So I think I might go with that one just for like the isolated moment, because, you know, leading into that, it felt, we remember those conversations leading into that. It was the, all right, well, maybe if they somehow win 5 out of 7, they can sneak in or something. Now, let's be real. Did we really think that was going to happen?
No, absolutely not.
No,
we thought we were struggling to believe this even with 3 at 1 point.
Right. We thought they might string us along a little bit. But I don't think anybody really believed. And then, as that game is going, I wasn't feeling, you know, good. And then you just get that release of, yes, holy crap, this is amazing. So I think I might go with that moment as the individual moment of the season.
Yeah. What about you, Sinair? All right. Oh, God, Sinair.
No moments for Sinair.
Right.
I angered him with the revolution talk.
All right. So for me, my moments of the season is definitely second Henny Derby. That game was up there. Like, that's probably one of my favorite games since we've done this podcast, because that game lived up to all the hype and more. Winner supporter of the year. That was pretty cool. Because all the hard work and, you know, people getting recognized for it is pretty dope. And also, I would say beating Greenville in the bonds in the health insurance derby, you know, because that was kind of like the game where it kind of felt like they were getting back on track. It was like, oh, like, all right, we weren't expecting this. So I think that was a cool moment as well. So those are my favorite moments of the season thus far.
Well, not thus far.
Well, yeah, thus far. Well, yeah, season's over with.
Yeah.
So thus far. Unfortunately, Shanir cut out on us again. So we will move on to the next question. Of the three jerseys this year, which one is your favorite? There's a tie between the home red kit and the cookie kit, and the after dark kit come in last. Where do you fall on this, sir?
It's red. Cookie kit, it's gray. I mean, the best thing that's going for it is it's not plain white. but unless you're looking really up close, you can't tell the cookie stuff is there at all. You know, so, I mean, again, it's fine because it's not plain white, and at least it's something a little bit different. But the red's a nice, you know, classic look, you know, for us. You know, it's kind of got that Arsenal look, which I know makes some people really happy. I don't give a crap about Arsenal. But, yeah, I thought, you know, the red was sharp. The U-Cross logo on there looked sharp. Black one was fine, but, you know, it's just that. It's just fine to me. Give me the red one every day of the week.
So for me, I would personally go the black kit just because of the front was a nonprofit. And the cookie kit, we sucked at it on the road. That was our road jersey. We sucked at it. I had nothing else to explain. We sucked at it. Shanir, what was your favorite jersey of 2021, sir?
It would have to be the away kit. The kick is away.
Perfect
kit.
Split. Perfect split.
The U-Crops cookies. They were U-Crops rainbow cookies.
How? We sucked in the road in it.
I don't know. There was just, I don't know. There was just something about it that it just, and the fact that I know, you know, when you're watching it on TV or from really far, far away, it just looks like a light gray, an off-white kit with rainbow U-crops on it. But I like the design. I don't know. It was paying homage to the U-crop rainbow cookies, which are extremely popular. But I don't know. I just liked it.
You're allowed your opinion.
All right.
Elliot might not think so, but you're allowed your opinion.
Yeah, you're allowed your opinion, sir. You're totally allowed your opinion. All right. Moving on to the next question. On the field, what is the number one need for the kickers going into 2022? A lot of the responses says another proven striker outside of Emmy. You also have attacking-minded fullbacks, a controlling midfielder, a stronger defense. So what are you guys' number one need for the kickers going into 2022?
I mean, to be honest with you, for me, I think I know it's not going to happen, but Ethan Bryant, when he came into the squad, I think he was that puzzle piece that Darren was missing. And it's weird. You know, he's basically a kid who's what, 20 years old, 19, 20 years old coming in, but how quickly he assimilated into the system, how basically it was like a domino effect off of him fitting into his position perfectly, just made everyone else so much more comfortable in there. And if I know it's very far-fetched, but at the end of the day, if we can figure out a way to keep him, as much of a long shot that is, I think that would be very key to us moving forward and developing and evolving even more for next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Matt, what about you, my friend?
It's tough. I think it's another, you know, goal dangerous, goal productive player, whether that's in the wing or in the midfield. I'm not too picky on where that comes from, but to be real, once again this year, Emmy scored half, if not more than half, our goals.
Yeah.
It can't be sustainable for a third year, right? You know, eventually, you know, and even if he keeps the same numbers, team needs to boost its overall goal scoring, you know, total up a bit to really be reaching, you know, the levels that we all want them to reach. So we mentioned earlier Bolaños, you know, he has potential to move up, you know, in, you know, goal scoring. I think that's absolutely doable, but you need at least another secondary scorer. Did anybody else, you know, even get to three? Maybe Olex had three this year.
Olex, a lot of people on a two.
Yeah. It's another year of that. Yeah, we need another person that defenses actually have to key on and, you know, pay attention to within 25 yards of goal. So that way everybody doesn't collapse on Emmy and, you know, he has to magically, you know, find space. I mean, he will, because he does, but, you know, lighten up the load for him a little bit. So whether that's out of the midfield, whether that's, you know, from the opposite side wing, I don't care where it is, but need somebody else who can reliably, you know, be able to chip in 6-7 goals.
So Mize is probably going to be a lot different than everyone else's. Fine. And when I say this, I don't mean this as like anyone. Fine quality depth in certain positions. So goalkeeper. Akira, we all love Akira. Don't get me twisted. Don't get me wrong. We love that man. He is a hometown legend here. But he is getting up there in age. He faced a stuff of saves, set the league one record, 10 clean sheets. But that's only sustainable for so long at his age. You know, we started there to tell him this year. Omaha, FC Tucson twice. Teams are starting to key on him from deep. It's getting tougher. I think we need to find a quality backup goalkeeper that can kind of lessen the load up on him.
I still think Aviza could be that guy. Like, yeah, he had a bad game, the one game he played, but then he got hurt, and they were never going to play Causey this year. So yeah. I don't think there was much of an option for Akira to get rest. I think that was clearly part of the plan to give, you know, Akira some rest here, because that's why they played Aviza in game three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. We don't know the depth of his injury, but I would just like to see if it's a visa or not. If it's someone else, maybe Brad Miller from Charlotte FC. You know, I'm just throwing that out there.
Why would he come to be a backup?
No, he would have come to be a backup. Maybe he challenged to be the starter. Look, I could dream, okay? but yeah, you know, for Akira, I also think. Of course, another proven goal scorer, whether that's someone's on the roster or whether that's someone coming in, I think that's definitely a key need. And then quality depth in the center back position. Yes, Chrysler, despite his homegrown, is there. It says whoever we bring in. But I think having more than just three center backs, because let's be real, we've been lucky when our center backs not getting hurt. It's been more so the fullbacks. But I don't want to risk luck. If having a rotating door center backs, so I think that's a key need there. Yeah. And so we go on to our next question, which is going into 2022, who are your first five re-signings? A lot of people here had Ethan Bryant. We got a couple for Stanley. We have Balduck. We have Pavone. Chrysler. A lot of people had Avon, but Avon is now retiring, so he's definitely gone. And then we also had a couple for Chirzaghi and Fitzgerald. So, guys, I open it up to you. Who are your first five re-signings for 2022 for the Richmond Kickers?
Yes. First of all, did you say only a couple people would put Emiliano Chirzaghi on their list?
No. I said a lot of people had Emiliano. A couple of people had Fitzgerald and James.
All right, I was just double checking, because anybody who does not have that man at, you know, number one, number two, and number three on their list is definably wrong.
Well, I mean, he's already resigned for year two, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not part of the exercise. It's basically who are the five players you start your team with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, okay, Terzaghi, right? That's no brainer. You know, Bolaños, no brainer right there. given the events of the last week, I think Jalen Chrysler has to become a no-brainer right there. So you have some level of continuity in the back. I think Zaka, no-brainer. Then I think the fifth one is a little more arguable. For me, you know, I think I might go Neal on that one just because I think his skill set is a little more unique and harder to find out there. Do I think he was necessarily one of the top five players on the team this year? No. But I do think that, you know, when they started to find a system, you know, for him, he started to really be able to excel. And I do think, again, that his, you know, skill set can help this team to become more what I think a lot of us want it, you know, to become. And yeah, I didn't pick Akira mostly because, you know, not that he wasn't good, but I think you can find a keeper anywhere if you do need to replace him. And that's not as hard a spot to find a replacement in my eyes.
Yeah. What about you, Sinead? Who you have, my man?
For me, first is Terzaghi. He's the league MVP 2 years running, the league Golden Boot winner 2 years running. He's provided more than 65-70% of our goals in the past 2 years.
Look at Matt Shanae with the stats. He's
number one on the list. You said what?
Okay. I said, look at you with the stats.
Oh, yeah. So he's number one for me. Number two, I would say Bolaños because of the development that we've seen with him. He's gone from just being a player that just runs down the wing to actually being an extremely dangerous element of our attack. And I think it can evolve even more, and especially if you keep him and Terzaghi playing together, that partnership can grow. Number three for me would probably be Zaka. Zaka is basically, to a certain extent, our midfield destroyer. That is very, very key, and especially the way the game has evolved lately, that your defensive midfielder is probably one of the, if not the most important player on the field, in terms of transition from attack, from defense to attack, protecting your back line, an outlet for your center backs when they win the ball. And I think Zaka is very, very, very key to the future of the Kickers, at least for next season. Number four, so that we can keep at least some semblance of continuity, Jalen. I know Yvonne's leaving, but I think if we were to completely scratch the center backs and start afresh with two new center backs, it would be there would be a learning curve. And the way this league goes, the way up and down things go throughout this league, we don't have time for that learning curve. So at least have one guy who knows the ropes, and who knows what's expected of him in that center back position. And number five for me would be the most unrealistic one, Ethan Bryant. He's that puzzle piece. Like I said before, he was that puzzle piece that that put things together for us.
So for me, Matt, I totally agree with you. There's no one I can see taking off of that list. I do think Neal might be the most important piece going into next year. I think towards the end of the year, he was a big part of why the Kickers were getting a little bit more productive on offense and able to retain a little bit more possession. So I think he's a key player to resign as well. But yeah, I can't add anything to that. So with that, we will move on to our last question, which is, my bad, way too early predictions for 2022. So I'm going to read off. Everyone's here. A couple put their name to it. My bad. So, hope you're ready for it. First, we got Lee. He says, when the cup, John Mars, we all know this crazy guy, says we're going to win the league. Mid-table, unless we spend some money. Didn't put their name to it, so I don't believe you. Much deeper run in the playoffs, taking momentum of last year and building on that confidence, Mr. Doug Doobie. We would do well with some much needed change. Miss Mercer, hope I said that right. Host a first round playoff at home in City Stadium and win. Nicole, third place, win the motherfucking cup. Richard Hayes, 5-0 start. Scott, put that one 33-30-0-0. Didn't put your name beside, so I don't believe you. And then the last we have, third in the league, regular season. And then cup champions, Gabe. So, guys, I ask you, instead of just giving me one, I want you to give me two way too early predictions that you have going into 2022 that I'm going to hold you to, at least to the first month of the season. Who wants to go first?
All right. First prediction, way too early prediction for me, is Terzaghi either wins MVP or Golden Boot for the third time in a row.
Oh, God.
That's my first prediction. Second prediction.
I love Richard. For those who can't see who's listening to audio, she, Richard was like, she didn't have to go first because it is crap. I love Richard.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, you can't argue with that.
No. Oh, man. All right, which other ones in there? My fault.
So, I'm struggling to find a second one.
He's too afraid to make a second one because last year he said we wouldn't lose a robbery game at the gate.
And I think North Carolina was one of those rivalry games he counted.
Yeah, he was. He was like, oh, North Carolina, Greenville. Lost Greenville, then North Carolina. He was like, oh.
Yeah.
All right, you want us to come back to you, bud?
No, I got it. For our second one, depending on our signing during the offseason, I can predict us reaching to the point where we're playing against either a USL championship team or an MLS team. We're running that deep into the US Open Cup.
Okay. I like it.
All right.
I mean,
all right.
I mean, I hear that massive caveat of depending on who we sign.
It depends on how. It's not. It, for me, it's not depending on who we sign. It for me, it's depending on how active we are in signing players. Because one thing we need to realize is that we just had a season where we didn't have that much in terms of a squad. And we were not in the U.S. Open Cup was not on this season. So now this is another extra set of games. And so we need to make sure we have a deep enough bench to make those rotations for those midweek U.S. Open Cup games. We need to be able to make those rotations and not be wearing our players out. Like, for example, having maybe either Neil or Zaka or even Terzaghi play every single game, including the U.S. Open Cup game. Something like that, we're not going far. But if there are signs that we're showing that we're trying to fill up that squad list and fill up that roster to be able to make rotations, then I can see us going deep in the U.S. Open Cup. At least USL Championship or MLFD.
Okay, all right. Heard here first, folks. Shadir thinks the Kickers are going deep in the U.S. Open Cup. Matt, my friend, way too early predictions going into 2022. There's a lot of twos there, so got to be strong with it.
Yeah, I think we'll sign a veteran center back from another USL League One team.
Okay.
So I think, you know, we're going to go the veteran route for finding Jalen a partner. I'm obviously assuming Jalen's going to be back at this point.
Jalen will resign. Jalen, yeah, we will bomb your Instagram if you don't resign. Bomb it, but we will spam it till you resign with multiple hate messages.
So I think that's one prediction I feel pretty good about. Let's see here. I think we'll, you know, sign a player, you know, coming straight out of college who, you know, but within the first month of the season will have won a starting job. I don't know what position yet, but I think, you know, this team will probably need another youth infusion right now. For USL League One level, they were kind of a veteran team this year. I think, you know, we're going to see, you know, a few more, you know, rookies, you know, guys on the, you know, 21, 22 age, you know, group, you know, come in and replace some of the guys who will be leaving. So a little bit different angle with some of the, you know, predictions. If we're going to way too early on the table, yeah, I think comfortably playoffs. Interpret that as you will.
All right. I like that. All right. This is what I got for you. I've been riding the nail train. I was hyped when we signed him because I think he's one of the underrated players in USL League One. He didn't start well in Richmond. Obviously so. But near the end of the year, I think he became better. I think he became a little bit more solid. So what I'm going to say is that Neil will have a 5-5 year. Five goals, five assists going into 2022. He already proved it. He has two goals so far, three assists. Each year, he's gotten better. I think year four, I think he hits a stride. I think he'd be successful. Also, I think the Richmond Kickers, and this is going to be a couple of people mad at me, but I'm going to say it anyway, I think we will sell, not just release, I think we will sell two players to USL Championship teams for a nice fee.
Okay. I can see who one of them is. Who's the other one?
So the one
is Bolaños. Who's the other
one? I think the other one is you guys are probably gonna laugh at me, but I can see a team sniffing around at Chris Cole. I can see someone sniffing around Chris Cole or I can see someone sniffing around at Victor Flack. And being like, oh, we'll take him. I can see it happen. Because I think Victor's young enough, and I think he's proven to be a good enough number six at a lower-tier championship side or a high-tier league one side. So I can see it happening. But I think Belongings definitely is one.
I don't see why a team would pay us for either one of those guys, though.
For Belongings?
No, for Belongings, I can see that. For Cole,
Belongings, yeah. I think I can see that. Yeah.
Belongings, I can see it. But the other two?
Those are the two I think that have at least a high upside enough. So those two, I couldn't go with no one else.
Okay. I feel like it's more likely that Cole starts here on our bench than he does on the championship team.
I think Cole's a starter. If he starts, I think he's a starter.
I mean, again, we need to think about the fact, you know, what are they doing off season? What form are they going to come back into the preseason with?
Oh, trust me, we're stalking Instagram pages. That's what Matt's on the podcast for.
Yeah, you're not doing it either, right?
Yeah. Stalking Instagram. So what are you doing?
I think that all depends. Because to be honest with you, if we just literally had to change one center back and stick with the rest of our back four, I wouldn't be opposed to that because the longer they play together, the more they play together, the better
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at the Kings like Greenville. Like, that team has been together for the core of that team has been together for the better part of 3 years.
Yeah, but they've been good the whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't start good.
I know they've been good the whole time. They, you know, and that's one thing that I think the impatience and recency bias of soccer fandom kind of shoots soccer in the foot with is that whole mentality of it's not working, so scratch it. At the end of the day, Calvo and Cole didn't look very good when they first were starting games. And by the end of the season, that back line was, it was no surprise. It was no surprise. At the end of the day, you knew it was going to be Cole, Calvo, Ivan, and Jalen. You knew that was going to be our back four towards the end of the season. And at the end of the day, whether there were errors or not, the more they play together, the more, you know, the communication would be better, the chemistry would be better. And I don't know. They just seem to be, whether there were still errors happening or not, they seem to be more comfortable with each other. So if you were to completely scramble that and only maybe keep Jalen, you're looking at a relearning process at the beginning of next season.
I think you could upgrade the right back spot. Let me sit here. We've talked about it. Like with Cabo, he struggles in what? 1v1 defending.
Yeah.
He struggles in it. So unless he has unless he spends the majority of this offseason working on that skill, you can upgrade right back. The left back spot, you got Monty, you got Chris Cole.
You can upgrade that spot still.
Huh?
You can still upgrade that spot.
Yeah, you can upgrade it, but I'm more so focused on the right back spot. Because the other two right backs you got there, they're gone. Yeah. Ian Anthony and Devontae DeBose. You can upgrade that spot. The center back besides Jalen, of course, now we know we got to fill in that hole. The only spot they're secure is Emmys, Zaka's, and Bolaños if they return, and Jalen's.
Those are the only four. That's it.
I mean, I think if Akira's back, the job is his.
Well, yeah, okay, five.
Yeah, it's his to lose.
Because you still need, let's be real, we need a right winger or a right midfielder. Because having Ethan and Matt kind of interswitching that job, it was kind of like every team knew every attack was coming out of the left-hand side. Yeah. They knew that. So you need a right winger. The midfield, I just put Neil for a 5-5 season. But
you need at least one.
You know, yeah, you need someone else to come fill in for him. Maybe as a backup. Because Ethan's probably not coming back because he's probably going back to San Antonio, or at least we can have him on a year-long loan.
That's more than likely. That's more than likely. I will hope.
That's just weird.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of depth that needs to be refreshed. Because, again, how many guys do you really feel like Darren trusted by the end of the year?
Yeah. Because a lot of depth we had from Darren's first year to this year didn't get in.
Completely vanished.
Yeah, Cameron Vickers left to go to 1904 in NISA. Stanley got hurt. Who else? Mumbai barely got it. Like,
got hurt and never made it back. Yeah. I mean, he was a deep reserve to begin with. Let's be real. Yeah.
Zeb, we saw that man for all of 10 minutes last year.
Yeah, he'll still be on the injury report next year, no matter what.
He has to be on there just for vibes. Nathan Ani, he's a good backup.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think Darren actually trusted to use.
Yeah, but I think like he's a
kind of like a utility man, like a Swiss Army knife type player.
Yeah, but if Darren's going to use him in the midfield, he's a developmental. He's not like a keyed in starter. He's a developmental piece. Luke, as much as we love Luke, let's be real, Luke is a fill in the hole player. He's not a starter, but he's a fill in the hole. Like, if I need someone to do a 10 minutes at right back, 10 minutes at midfield, 10 minutes at winger, I can throw him in there and just, you know, cause havoc. Hernan started out the year, and we talked about just how much the team looked behind it when he was on the field. So you probably need another backup striker or another striker if you want to go 4-4-2 or whatever beside Emmy or behind Emmy. And am I forgetting anyone else?
Oleks. I don't think Darren didn't really trust him by the end.
He didn't.
And I think the problem with Oleks was just defense. Like, the thing about Darren is you have to defend. And if you're not going to defend, Darren probably isn't going to start you because the way how Darren sets his team up. That's not a fault of Oleks because most attacking players don't like to defend.
I mean, but kind of, if you're, it's kind of a fault.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I think the biggest thing with Oleks is in the final third, he was just too infrequent. You know, the goals we saw for him were spectacular, but we never saw him do the, how can I say this? We never saw him do the boring well. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, there's always full speed.
Yeah.
You know,
or like looking just to pass the ball around. You know, it was always like either we're lumping over the top and he's threw ball in, or it's, and granted, he had a couple of assists, but it's just he never did the boring enough well to develop and become a key to starter like we were all anticipating for him to do. So with that being said, I think the biggest thing is that Darren just really needs to look down the squad and be like, all right, first of all, figure out who you can re-sign. Resign them.
Who you want to re-sign. I mean, I think you probably knows that already.
Yeah, who you want to re-sign. And then from there, I think you need to go get some quality depth, either from some of these USL championship teams that in the lower tier, because kickers don't have that much money. So go get teams from the lower USL championship tier that could come in, either be key starters or key backups. Look around USL League One because we did find Jalen Chrysler. He was a backup in Madison and didn't even start. Now he's a starting center back here and arguably could have been in that USL second team. Also, by the way, congrats to Emi and Akara for making USL first and second team. Congrats to them.
First team. They're both first.
Yeah, I said first and second team. Oh, they're both first team. That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was thinking second team.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to win your goalkeeper of the year.
My money's on Joe Rice. I think they're going to split it three ways.
Yeah, that would make a world of sense if your first team all-league goalkeeper doesn't win goalkeeper of the year.
It's USL League One.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the kickers also need to look at some of these League Two teams, Lionsbridge, JP's Sirs, who's playing at UYOMA. That's a key part of that team was from Lionsbridge. The striker from Lionsbridge, I can't remember his name, but he went to Campbell, you know. He's French. Came from Lionsbridge. I think that's a key part of Richmond needs to look at. And look, they have talent there. The team just went to the USL League Two playoffs. They lost to Tormenta, I think, in the quarterfinals or semis. I can't remember the round. But that's a key component of a team that we need to look at and make a connection with and bring some of that talent in and be like, hey, we can do something with this. And then, of course, like some of the college networks, I think, is like bottom. Like, I think that's like your last result.
I think that kind of ties in with the League Two, because all those League Two players are playing for college. So I think they're kind of intermixed, intertwined as it is.
But aren't League Two, you're playing a little bit more professional? Like, you're playing, I know it's still amateur, but there's maybe some professional guys in there.
No, if you're playing college ball, you can't play on a team with professional players. Otherwise, you lose your eligibility. So you could have a League Two team and be all like, you know, semi-pro guys, but you wouldn't be allowed to have college players on that team then.
Okay. See, I didn't know that. Well,
yeah.
I think that's the way how kickers should go. I would really love to see the kickers develop a partnership with Lionsbridge, like make that a thing.
Yeah. Instead, or we can just, you know, sign, you know, five more guys from Washington State.
And Argentina.
Yeah.
we're two out of three on the Argentinian signing, so I'll take those odds.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, y'all.
You bringing up the two out of three Argentinian players. just in a nutshell, with Gonzalez, I think that was a situation of Darren wanting to have two styles available to him in terms of full play. Because a team will set up completely differently if they have a target striker than if they have a mobile finisher. And I think he thought he was going to be able to have, okay, if we want to play with a target striker, I set up the team this way. And if we want to play with Terzaghi, I set up the team this way. But he didn't have that luxury. And because of that, Gonzalez, he just kind of basically just rotted on the bench of sorts towards the end there. Like, probably, like, after the first few games, we didn't see him anymore at all. Not even coming off the bench, really.
Yeah, and I mean, look, no team hits on 100% of their signings, so I'm not going to hold it against Darren for not hitting 100% of his. Some guys, flame out for whatever reason. Even good players have, sometimes have teams they just don't fit right on. So
yeah,
happens. Kind of, Elliot, build off of what you're saying. Yeah, I'd be really interested in seeing what's going to happen with all these MLS two teams, of how many their non teenage guys they carry over to the MLS league. Because I could see it's, I'd be really interested in picking off like a couple guys off of the Revs, potentially.
Sir, I got a list if you want to go through it. I got a list.
I'm down. Let's go.
I got a list. First of all, Sean Hondau. First and foremost.
I don't think he's gettable for us, but
I don't care. You go to him and you tell him, come here. You will play. We'll go 4-4-2. I'll change the formation. Somebody can sit.
I mean, that would be the score we're looking for.
Right. He fits perfect then. I think another person off of that Fort Lauderdale team, Noah Allen, you could throw a bag at him. I don't think Rob got that kind of money. But I think you go at him and tell him, like, look, either you can go to MLS 2 and you can be a backup to a backup to a backup, or you can come to Richmond and start. And he fits perfectly what Darren wants to do. He wants a fullback that can get up and down the field, that can be offensive and attacking, almost like that Villadaire type of fullback. He can be our Villadaire. And I think he fits perfectly in the role. Look, he was in one of the best assistants at the fullback spot. And that's something Richmond is missing. We don't have fullbacks that can get crosses in. Yes, Cole was doing it near the end part of the year, but it was not a consistent basis. I think another player you could go look at is Kazu from North Texas. I think he near the end of the year, he was playing more into that right mid spot, that right winger spot, a spot that is lacking for the Richmond Kickers. I think he fits perfect into that spot. That's another player you could go get. Or if you want to go look at the Revs too, I think you go look at Brzezinski is one. Yeah. And there's one more, but he's slipping my mind right now. But
here, look on the defensive side, you look at like Ryan Spalding could be a good fit.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah.
Another one. I think those are like players you go look at and be like, hey.
If you're looking at the Revs too, I mean, it doesn't solve a massive immediate problem, but bring Joe Rice back home and really muck up the goalkeeper spot.
Yeah. Look,
tell Rice.
Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to that at all.
I mean, I wouldn't do it. If I was him, I wouldn't do it, just because why would you come back into the same spot that you left? It's literally the same.
He was starting. He was starting. Rice was starting. 100%. Rice was starting.
Because
I
think I'm going to agree with you, Elliot. Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you, Elliot, because you there's a pattern in soccer. And when you see someone goes for player coach, 9 times out of 10, that's their last year. And Akira, technically this year, his position was player coach as the goalkeeper. I think he's hanging up the glove. And if that's the case, and if Joe Rice comes back, he's starting. He is starting.
Right, I'm just saying, if you're Joe Rice, unless you see a retirement – notice, why would you ever sign here? You go somewhere else.
I don't think he would realistically come back, but
no,
I would just love it if he did come back.
Yeah. So I'd be interested in, mining some of those teams. I think the other thing that this team could probably use it, and it doesn't really matter what position it comes from. I think bringing in somebody with from a winning culture, it can help.
Yeah,
because pretty much all the guys we brought in, I mean, most of them were pretty good, but they all came from other losing teams, right? And if we can get a couple guys, you know, and they don't have to be primary, you know, starting guys, they could be, you know, top reserves. Yeah, but coming in from, you know, steal a guy off of a Greenville, you know, steal somebody off of an Omaha or a Chattanooga, you know, places that are building that culture of winning, or, you know, get a guy coming down from a decent championship team that wasn't really getting minutes, but is, you know, hungry, you know, to be able to play more, and bring that, you know, bring that little infusion of, you know, just, you know, F you, we're going to win. I don't care how.
Yeah. Also, another player that I think is a realistic signer for the Richmond Kickers is Kevin Pollock from Toronto too.
Yeah, he's bounced around.
I think he's a realistic signing as well, because I don't see him going to Toronto MLS 2 side. So I think that's a realistic signing.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah, there's so many, you know, so many questions unanswered with what that league is going to look like, and therefore what's going to be the, you know, market for different players.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm MLS, you know, in this league now, I don't see why I'd want some of these like 24, 25 year old guys that are perfectly good, you know, League One players, but for purpose of their league, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. So with that being said, also we have, because I know everyone's going to ask, we have Northern Colorado coming in, Central Fuego,
yeah, Fresno.
Fresno area. That's 2022-2023. As we have
Fort Wayne.
Oh, there's one more.
Lexington.
Yeah, Lexington, that's right. And Spokane.
Is Spokane official yet?
Yeah, they're official.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they were official, because I know they don't have an owner yet, and I know like some MLS some other owner was trying to, you know, angle in to steal the stadium out from underneath the USL. So, and then there's rampant rumors that Charlotte's going to be dropping down.
Yeah. And we might see some of these decent teams independent.
Because now, doesn't Charlotte have like three teams now? What's Charlotte?
Independence.
Okay.
And Austin Bo is another rumor that Austin Bo could be moving to Fort Wayne, Texas, and they could become another League One team. So the league is going to be expanding. It's just depending on where and when within the next 2 years. But guys, anything else we got before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Go for it before as Richard says, before your internet goes.
No, I was just gonna say that one thing that I am glad about is this year we officially made City Stadium a fortress. We only had one loss at City Stadium this season. And that's big. So, us.
Yeah, we can build on that, though, because
yeah,
the crowds are not all the way back yet. You know, we can do better. Season tickets, they're up, they're out. Prices are very reasonable. I don't want to hear people complain about, oh, $150 for a season ticket. That's $10 a game. You can you can swing that, and I almost positive they offer payment.
I don't want to hear anyone complain about a season ticket. If you go to watching the football games, you are spending more than $150 per game. You will be fine. Buy a season ticket.
Also, if you want us to be able to get better players, money's got to come from somewhere. You know, invest in the, you know, tickets. It's, you know, 15, you know, good days out, you know, hanging out at the very minimum. You know, again, $10 a game, you know, and plus whatever else, you know, comes along with it. I think that's a great deal. You know, we can, you know, think about how fun that you know, second Madison game was with, you know, a little bigger crowd. You know, let's get to that point of having, you know, those kind of crowds back every week, and, you know, even bigger. You know, did it before, we can do it again. So that's point one. Buy your tickets, you know, treat yourself to a nice, you know, Christmas, Hanukkah, you know, whatever you choose to celebrate, you know, gift in that way. Two, one, you know, shout out you guys. Thanks for inviting me into this for this year. Really enjoyed it. You know, always fun to be able to, you know, talk about the team most weeks. I know we had talked about also wanting to be able to have, you know, not every week sort of thing, but, you know, have other periodic you know, podcasts, you know, over the winter time, just to be able to keep some momentum going. So, you know, anybody who's listening to this, if you have ideas of what you might want to, you know, hear about, if there's certain player interviews, if it's you know, hear about, you know, certain topics that we can, you know, research, opine upon, whatever it might be, you know, send us a message, you know, Facebook, Twitter, wherever. And yeah, we'll look into it, you know, because don't want the momentum to just die here mid-November and then pick up fresh again come February or March, whenever things really start getting going.
Yeah, sure. What about you, Samir?
No, I'm good. Like I said, you know, 8-5-1 at home. That's a pretty good season in my book, especially at home. Yeah, we struggled on the road, but I mean, to be honest with you, most teams do better at home than on the road. I mean, we want to probably shrink that gap between our home and our away performances, but it's a good start that we literally only had one loss at home this season. That's definitely something to be proud of.
And I guess I'm last. I just want to, first of all, thank you guys for the countless shows that we've done, the countless hours that we put into this podcast. I'm pretty sure our significant others have access. Are you guys done recording? When are you recording again? Are you almost done? So that, and also thank you to our spouses, our loved ones that have supported us through this. This is year 3, so this is big. About to go into year 4. We hit our 100th episode, which is really dope. And also, to you guys, the listeners, for you guys taking the time out of your days to listen to our show for 40 minutes to an hour 20, whatever, we want to say thank you to you guys for doing that, because without y'all, this show is worthless. So definitely thank you to you guys. Yeah, man, it's just so great to have a show where we can talk about the Kickers, the hometown team. What we expect, you know, we don't get right on all our predictions like Shadair when it came to predicting whether or not the Kickers was going to sweep every rivalry series. That didn't happen.
Yeah. I'm a little more confident in my predictions for this, my way too early predictions this time around, though.
But yeah, it's going to be something interesting going into year 4 and having Matt on board. We're definitely looking to it. And also, if you out there are interested in joining the team, if you want to write, if you want to help out with the stats, we're more than looking forward to it, because we need all the help we can get. So with that being said, for the last time for the 2021 season, thank you guys for taking the time here today and listening to the show. For Matt and Shanair and myself, holler at you guys. Be safe.